Welcome to TinTackers.com. You've found your brewery sign headquarters for your patio, garage, man cave, she shed, or basically anywhere you drink beer. Now you can find all your favorite brewery's Tin Tackers in one place. TinTackers.com has the largest selection of Tin Tackers, all made in the USA. Don't forget to subscribe to their Mini Tacker of the Month Club and get a fun, exclusive Mini Tacker in your mailbox every month. Be sure to use the promo code TAPTHECRAFT for 10% off your next order. See what's waiting to make your walls happy at TinTackers.com.
Hello, craft beer friends, and welcome to Season 9, Episode 22 of Tap to Craft Podcast. I am Denny Luce, coming to you from Boise, Idaho, and my partner in craft, the dog whisperer, and my favorite Florida man from Tampa, Florida, Mr. Chris McKenzie. How are you doing tonight, Chris? And of course, let us know what is in your glass.
Well, Denny, as soon as it gives me a little notification that we're live, that'd be great. But hey, if you got it,
I got it, and we've got five people already in, and we just went live.
Oh, there's my notifications. I refreshed the screen. Yeah.
We are live. So what's in your glass?
In my glass, while I'm sitting here kind of reading these notifications real quick, I'm drinking a beer from Jacksonville, Florida. I saw this when I was in the grocery store. I was up that way this past weekend, and the label got me.
Scout Dog. Nice. Again, so you see Cajun and everything, right?
I really do. He's a little bit of everywhere. But this is from a brewery called Veterans United Craft Brewery, and this is their Scout Dog 44 Amber Ale. And this is the first can that I had. I completely buried it in the back of my beer fridge by mistake. Only, you know, last weekend, so no big deal. But I'm really enjoying this one. This one's an easy drinker, 5.4% alcohol. It's got a really cool label on it. Kind of looks like
my dog. It's a keeper.
That's what really got me walking through the grocery store, and I went, oh, there's a dog. Oh, that's a beer label. But I'm doing well today. Just like I said, looking forward to drinking in some beer with you today, chit chatting about some breweries and
yeah. And drinking beers. Yeah. Yeah.
So what about you? How are you doing, and what's in your glass this evening?
I'm doing well. I am tired. If you hear it in my voice or see it in my eyes, it's been a busy week. I got back from Oregon, moving my mom down from the Portland area down to Salem to a new assisted living retirement center. And everything went really smooth, but just a lot of work and tiring time. But now I'm back, and we're going to talk about beer. What is in my glass? Talking about beer, I'm drinking, I've had this on the show before, Mother Earth's Heavy Cloud Hazy IPA. I got back Saturday evening, and my beer fridge was lacking things that I could drink that wasn't like super big.
I feel like we all run into that.
I have to go to the store and get something I can drink. And so I saw they still had some of this Heavy Cloud Hazy IPA, and I said, you know what? I enjoyed that last six pack. I went ahead and got another six pack. So this was in my fridge, so I'm having it tonight, early in the show before we get into our tasting note segment with a nicer, bigger beer. So
I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah. So let's get this show started, Chris. But before we get too far in, we always want to let anyone new listening to the show know what Tap to Craft Podcast is all about. We are an educational podcast focused around celebrating all things craft beer, because we want to assist you, our listener, along in your craft beer journey and adventures. And you're listening to episode 230. We're recording on Monday, May 15th, 2023. And yes, we are live on Facebook. So if you'd like to join us one of these times while we're recording the show, you can do that on the Monday before release at 8:30 Eastern time. Just get on the Facebook and look for the post saying that we've gone live. jump on in, ask questions, say hi, tell us what you're drinking. We love to interact with you while we record. And this episode, we will learn about our favorite breweries beginning with the letter L. And I know it's, we just had one two episodes ago, and I know it's, you're like, wow, you guys just did one. But I got back, and yesterday I just needed to come up with a topic that was easy. And you know what? This is an easy topic because I have, I know what my favorite L breweries are without even looking them up. And I'd love to share them with all of our listeners and talk about these two breweries that I have.
Well, I'm glad you did. I had to search a little bit. I do have one, I don't know, 15 minutes that way.
Okay. Okay. But, don't give it away. Let's wait and hear what that's all about. We're also going to do an unboxing of our May Tentacker of the Month, May Tentacker of the Month box. So that will be fun. And we will be doing our last tasting of our Wisconsin beer from Giant Jones Brewing, provided by one of our great listeners, Bill Schlemmer. We'll be drinking up a Belgian-style golden strong ale. Looking forward to that. I love a good golden strong ale. As well as you can count on Chris and having some great beer conversation along the way. And Chris and I would love to thank all of our Patreon supporters because this episode is brought to you in part by our satisfied Patreon supporters like Mike Allen, Bill Schlemmer, Amanda and Kevin Argauer, Mark Reedy, Mike Blanchard, Tara Carlson, Jim Kutzel, and Alex Fuchs, who are our virtual producers. And Tom Byrne, Jeff Seiler, Johan Halberg, Chad LaMassa, Mark Church, and Eric Gronley, who want to buy us a virtual beer. And if you enjoy the content we provide, we invite you to support the show by toasting your hosts or buying us a virtual beer or even becoming a virtual producer. You can explore the options on our support page by visiting patreon.com/tapthecraft. Okay, Chris, you know, we just talked about this Tentacker, Mini Tentacker of the Month. Why don't we go ahead and just unbox it right now, right in the beginning of the show? What do you think?
You want to do it now?
Yeah. Are you ready?
I was born ready.
Okay. You're ready. You got your Crenshaw. Wait, what kind of knife you have?
This is a Kershaw.
Kershaw.
I believe it's called an Oso. So like Spanish for bear.
Okay. Okay. I hear those are pretty good knives. My good friend Corey has one. He loves it as well.
This is my second one. They come with lifetime warranties on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll fix them and repair them and stuff for you. I think you got to pay $10 to get them repaired and shipped and stuff. But I'm very happy with this one.
Okay, so in this short little time we've been talking, I was able to cut all my seals with my little fancy generic penknife.
Oh, if this is what I think it is, I'm going to be so excited.
Okay, but wait a minute. See, you open it up. Look at that. Right away, you get to see tentackers.com in a secret envelope. Yes.
A secret envelope.
Sealed nicely.
Oh, Danny, I think it is.
It is a very, very nicely wrapped package.
It's not just like randomly open at the bottom. It's folded and very neatly packaged for you.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and...
Now, once again, they have this nice pamphlet in here that describes what this Tentacker, Mini Tentacker is all about. So the May free swag is an extra surprise in your mailbox every month for your beer fridge. And this is where you put all your collection of beer stickers on your refrigerator, your toolbox. How about your laptop or hydro flask? Wherever you showcase your beer decals, this one will be a standout. The Dewey Lake Monster sticker from Sister Lakes Brewing Company. It's laser cut with a crack and peel backing. Time to get crafty. Yeah, that's a pretty sweet sticker.
I just commented on this one on their website or on their Facebook page. I shared it to ours.
Yeah.
I hope it's their actual Tentacker because it's pretty cool.
Okay. And
I'm cutting it open. I'm not waiting for you.
Okay, go ahead and cut it open. Let me read what the Made Mini Tentacker of the Month is this month for your wall, Sister Lakes Brewing Company. Quote, somewhere between the edge of shadows and the corner of your eye hides a land of hidden beasts. It came from Dewey Lake by Joe Kuarik. the Dewey Lake Monster. According to folklore, Sister Lake's a sleepy little resort town near Dowagiac, sure. Michigan. Yeah, we'll say that. Was where the first sighting of the mysterious beast was reported more than 50 years ago. Sister Lake's Brewing Company named their double IPA after their most famous of the Michigan monsters. Sister Lake's is located in Dowagiac, Michigan. Okay, so you already opened your show it off.
No, I didn't open it. Listen, I got a little overzealous, and it's exactly what I thought it was.
Oh. It is the tentacker that goes with the sticker. Wow, let's go ahead and open this up and get this plastic wrap off so we can really get a good look at this raised.
So the green on mine is going to bleed out a little, guys. So it's, we've got green screens. Eric, good to see you on here, sir. Cheers to you as well.
Okay.
Here, we'll just make it screw it.
Yeah.
But yeah, yours looks awesome. And it's kind of hard to see, but
very nice colors, very shiny. Raised. It's raised embossed. And it even has little holes. Cool. On the top and the bottom, where you can tack it into your wall. It's awesome. Just a mini version.
Now the question is, where does it go?
You're where getting quite a collection
on the
there.
Wall, right? Now where do we put it? Because we had a couple of the little ones that went up there, and they fit in pretty well. But I don't know where this. I have to find a place for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to put them on my door. I need to put the, I've been so busy. I still need to send Johan his mini tacker box off to Sweden. I just needed to wait until I got this moved over with so I can clear my head of tasks to do. But yeah, I'll get that off. But I got the other one too,
Fox and the Hare Company.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on my back door too to go with my Core 4 Brewing from Oklahoma City.
See if I can get this thing to sit still.
Okay. Well, while Chris is busy working over there, I want to thank tentackers.com for including us in their Mini Tacker of the Month, allowing us to unbox some of the great tentackers, mini tentackers that they are providing each month. And we'll tell you at the end of the show. Well, you already learned in the beginning of the show how to go and find them and save some money with our Tap to Craft promo code. But at the end of the show, we'll also give you another chance. And it's in our show notes or description in the podcast as well. Chris has been, we haven't talked about our videos because we haven't been doing a lot of fresh videos. But Chris has been busy getting some of the older recordings that we've kind of missed putting up on the YouTube page. So go visit our YouTube page, subscribe. We do have some older videos that are kind of informational and fun to watch, as well as we are slowly getting up to date with all of our video. The same thing that you're watching live on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, don't worry. It will eventually be on YouTube, and you can watch us.
I'm less than a year behind right now.
Yeah, so there you go.
I'm in July right now.
You've made good progress. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So just a plug.
Got one uploaded before the show started.
another one.
Proud.
Yeah, so it's youtube.com/taptocraft if you want to find our YouTube page. We now have a real name, not just a bunch of letters and numbers and symbols. If you can't find it by typing that in, we do have our Linktree account. That's linktr.ee/taptocraft, and that will give you links to all of our cool stuff as well. As far as feedback, are you all settled in? We have some voicemails. Now, these voicemails were actually left the day of our last recording, but because I was in a hurry... That's my wife.
I heard that.
That's my wife. Okay. She doesn't know how to slam doors. When she slams doors, all my bottles, these are real bottles. Anyone is not familiar, they rattle. So you've probably heard a little rattling there as well. But Jim Kudzall, he left us three voicemails before last show, but because I was in a hurry to get going, I didn't check the voicemail line before we started recording. I checked it in the morning, but I didn't check it right before. So I miss them. But you know what? It works out perfect because now we can share them on this episode and we have two episodes with voicemails. So Chris, whenever you are ready, why don't you go ahead and hit us up with Jim's first voicemail?
Okay, here we go.
Hey everybody, Jim Kudzall here. It's been quite a while since I called in last, so I thought I'd at least give you a trip report that Tara and I took recently. I think on the last episode, we were in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we went to the Burial Tap Room. Obviously, their main operation is in Asheville, but they do have a really neat tap room in Raleigh. They don't serve food, but it's right next door to a food court. And you cannot bring your beer to the food court, but you can bring the food from the food court to the tap room. And it's a really neat food court. It's not chain stuff. It's all, I don't know, there might be local chains or something. At least they're not anything I'm familiar with. I think they had an Indian booth, a South American booth, an East Asian booth, an ice cream booth, a salad booth.
Everybody loves the good salad booth.
Yeah.
Burgers and fries. Great variety. So if you're in the area, check it out. Well worth your time. Plus you get great burial beer on top of that. And that was on a stop on our way to Myrtle Beach. Tara and I went to Myrtle Beach to see the strongman competition. But while we were there, we discovered a fantastic brewery. In fact, we went back the next day again, because we like their beer so much. It's well out of the tourist area. It's in this industrial park, warehouse-type district. Actually, it happens to be in an old Stroh's distribution building. I guess they did the warehouse and distribution from that site. And Stroh's, as you know, is a beer from Detroit. I don't even know if they're still around, but when I was young and poor, I used to drink them all the time because you could get 30 can cases for the price of the normal 24s, at least where I was anyway. You can even see the faded Stroh's beer sign above the entry door. Anyway, this the brewery of interest is called New South Brewing. It's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
That's in the first
3-minute cut off.
This is Jim again. You know, I can't do it all in one call. No.
I wouldn't expect him to.
Anyway, the name of the brewery is New South Brewing. They're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They only have a tap room, no food. Like I said, look, chips or something like that, but no restaurant. And they distribute locally. They're the first craft brewery in South Carolina. They started in 1998. If you go on Untappd, it says the second brewery. So there must have been a big beer operation in the state before they showed up in 1998. South Carolina laws are still very restrictive, not as bad as they used to be. I know in recent years a lot of states have been changing their laws. They said that only in the last 7 years were they allowed to serve beer from a tap room.
Wow.
And they're only allowed to be open 3 hours a day.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Because they don't serve food.
Oh.
And the patrons are only allowed to be served 48 ounces of their beer a day.
Come on.
So their full pours are in 12-ounce glasses. That way they say you can at least have four beers instead of three. And they do shorter pours. They do, 6-ounce pours. But they're still, by law, not allowed to give you free samples, no tastings, no flights. What they said is they'll pour you a 6-ounce, and if you really don't like it, they'll throw it out and give you a replacement for free. Pretty restrictive over there. Love their beer. They have several beers with coffee in it, and if you like coffee, you'll certainly like that. They roast their own coffee beans there on site, and in fact, they have like a little shop with T-shirts and all the usual stuff, and they sell their roasted coffee there as well. So if you happen to be in the area, check them out. New South Brewing in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's it. Hey, I got it in 2 calls.
Good job, Jim.
And then we got a third one from him then. Yes. Or a second one?
Third.
Well, it's a third voicemail, but second call.
Yeah, that's okay. He'll tell you. He'll explain.
This is Jim a third time. I guess I couldn't fit it in 2. Just a quick postscript, though. Tara and I are leaving this weekend for a 2-week trip to England and Gibraltar. So if we find anything interesting there after we get back, then we might report in again. But we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to experiencing some British pub ales. Yeah. Been there several times before, so it's not brand new, but like the experience all the same. Cheers.
Well, that one was short. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that was just a postscript. And I need to figure out how to turn off. All these dings are in the show because the stupid Windows is like notifying me of all this stuff, or Chrome is, and I canceled the damn notifications on Chrome, yet it still sends them. I hate technology.
Yeah.
Sorry everyone, for hearing the dings. That's not intended. It's Chrome.
I thought that was Jim's computer or something.
No, it's mine. My computer just pops up these, and I turned off the Chrome notifications, so I don't understand why it keeps tell me about stuff I don't care about. Oh, well, okay. But hey, thank you, Jim, for letting us know about the weird law. I like hearing about strange beer laws. 3 hours a day if you don't serve food. Wow, that would kill a brewery.
No kidding.
You almost have to have some kind of a food service if you're only be allowed to be open 3 hours a day. I don't necessarily mind the 48 ounces. I think that I can appreciate that. It makes sure that at any one venue, you know that they're going to leave there without drinking more than 4 beers.
Yeah.
Even 4 beers is a lot. So I'm okay with that. Talking about something weird, I've been drinking beer in Oregon, all my youth and my adult life. Not all of it. I've been in Idaho a lot, but something strange happened to me this trip, and I was caught off guard because it might be a new law that they incorporated, but we were out at Gilgamesh Brewery in Salem, Oregon, and we went there twice. And the first time, I mean, usually I can drink my beer and it's empty before the next one comes, but we were there and we wanted to, because it was busy, we said, hey, go ahead and bring another round, because we don't want to wait. And so, but she brought it like right away and we hadn't finished. We had, you know, a little bit, you know, we had like a quarter of the glass left and she wouldn't put the beer down until that beer was finished. And I'm like, did beer laws change? I never, not that I typically have beers still full, but there's times when a happy hour is getting over as, and I know I want to save that buck or buy one, you know, buy one, get one free type thing. And I'll order another beer with a full one there, right? Or I'll go order two at bar and sit them down. And that's not a problem in Idaho, at least as far as I know. No one's ever said anything. And I could swear I've done that in Oregon in the past. And I wonder if a new law has passed that won't allow you to have more than one drink in front of you at a time. I just thought that was bizarre because I hadn't experienced that in all of my my drinking in Oregon. So
I don't know. Maybe they're just not up for double fisting in Oregon anymore.
Maybe not. I mean, in Utah, they don't allow it. You can only have one drink in front of you. But
well, that's Utah.
That's Utah, right? We expect weird things in Utah, but not in not in Oregon. Maybe they got all weird. But
I mean, their slogan is keep one of their cities weird.
Yeah, keep Portland weird.
Keep Portland weird.
And then there's a bumper sticker that's been floating around that says "Weird's not working."
Yeah, no kidding. I don't. Yeah, I agree with that one. With that one a lot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's definitely some weirdness going on in Portland. I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. Okay, well, hey, if you want to be like Jim and leave us a voicemail, you can do that easily by calling 208-536-3359. Or if those are too many numbers for you to remember, don't worry. We've got an easy way for you to remember. It's just 208-53-ODDLY. And leave us a voicemail. Tell us where you're visiting, breweries you're visiting. You're, you know, ask us a question. Tell us that you love us and you want us to keep doing a show forever. Whatever, just leave us a voicemail. We love hearing your guys' voice on the air. And if you are too shy to talk to us and get your voice out here, well, you can leave us an email, old school, at tap2craft@gmail.com. Or if you're still on the socials, you can go on Twitter and Instagram and just follow us at tap2craft. And we're on facebook.com/tap2craft. That's where you can join us live for our recordings the Monday before we release. And we also have a Discord server. This is a private channel where only tap2craft members are going to interact and share your beer stories. And, you know, we have a lot of different channels or categories in here that you can share whatever you want and enter into some conversations that are keep out all the trolls and no one's going to, you know, give you a bad time. We're just there to have fun and share stuff. So that Discord server can be found by following a link on our homepage at tap2craft.com. Right at the top there is there's a link, or on our Linktree site, linktr.ee/tapthecraft. That's where you can find the link to the Discord server as well. Okay, Chris, let's continue the beer conversation because now it is time to untap the craft and see what our listeners are drinking according to Untappd.
Well, speaking of folks traveling, our first check-in is going to be from Mr. Jim Kudzall himself, and he is drinking an Estrella Dam by Dam at Holiday Inn Express. He said, just landed in Gibraltar, having our first brew here with a lager brewed in Barcelona, a light and flavorful, easy drinker, proper pints served here too.
Oh,
a 3.5 cap rating to go along with that check-in and a lovely picture of the Rock of Gibraltar and of Terra as well.
At the airport.
And speaking of Terra.
Oh, wait, was that at the airport?
At the airport? If that's the airport, whoa, what a view.
No, maybe it's not the airport. They took one right off the plane. I don't think she was drinking, maybe.
Either way. So the next one from Tara is doesn't have a rating to go along with it, but she's drinking a 1664 by Kronenbourg Brewery at the Holiday Inn Express as well. That's how you get smarter, guys. You stay at the Holiday Inn Express. But just another amazing photo of where they are. And she said, not exciting, but definitely refreshing after a long travel day. Yeah, beer does make it better. There are a handful of other check-ins from these guys. Tara also checked into the Estrella Dam. Jim checking into a Gibraltar Barbary beer at, by Bushy's at Roy's Fish and Chips. Mm. He said it's a malty British bitter brewed on the Isle of Man. I hope you can understand what they're saying there. Using hops grown here in Gibraltar. Goes well with the fish and chips. 3 3/4 caps for that one. Jim and his funny hat.
So, yeah. So
I see what you mean.
I saw that. And at first I was thinking, what kind of funny hat is Jim wearing? And then I zoom into the picture and it's an umbrella,
the umbrella
behind him. It looks like he's got this funny hat. I just thought it was funny.
I see what you mean. Well, Tara is checking into a tribute by St. Austell Brewery at Roy's Fish and Chips. She said, my favorite beer of the trip so far and my third fish and chips. 4 cap ratings
and
go along
with that.
She
doesn't even like fish.
And that's what she wrote as the comments. And you commented also, when I first saw this photo, I thought Jim was wearing a funny hat. He said it's just the umbrella. It looks like you guys are having beautiful weather there too. So I hope you guys are enjoying the trip. And last but not least from the two travelers, Jim's checking into a Guinness draft by Guinness. And he's drinking this at the Holiday Inn Express. He said, my third Guinness of the trip goes great with dessert, even out of a can. It's still better than what we get back home. 3 3/4 cap rating for that one. Traveling away from Europe, we're going to be reading a check-in from, let's see. Wow, my page just kind of refreshed. There we go. Bill Schlemmer drinking a Central Quarter Bourbon Barrel Aged, by Lowlands Brewing Collaborative. He said, abundant bourbon vanilla notes, smooth, creamy body, not at all boozy, has some fig or raisin flavor, finishes with a very mild sweetness. Great quad, 4.5 cap rating to go along with that beer. That sounds phenomenal. And we've got Alex Fuchs. I don't know what that says, but it's brewed by the Sheeta Brewery.
Oh.
And he gave it a 5 cap rating, but I can't read what it is. So next on the list is going to be Mr. Art Warcheck in Ohio, drinking a Juicy and Wild Bluebell by Lambic Fabrique at the Beer Engine. No notes to go along with it, but a 4 cap rating. And we've got Mr. Mike Allen drinking a double dry hopped Tropped Nectaron IPA by Creature Comforts Brewing. 4.5 cap rating to go along with that one. Oh, by the way, happy American Craft Beer Week, everybody.
Oh, is it American Craft Beer Week?
You know how I knew that?
No.
I got a badge on Untappd.
Oh, so I guess I need to check into something. Mm. Oh, I guess
it'll check into something.
I guess it'll be this beer after the show.
What, you mean this beer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 4.5 cap rating, but no notes to go along with his double dry hopped Trop Nectaron. Jeff Weesey drinking an inflatable snowman by Cross Strain Brewing. My favorite K brewery. This is an awesome lager. Crisp and refreshing with notes of cinnamon and cranberries in the finish. Cheers. 5 whole caps to go along with that from Mr. Jeff Weesey. Next on the list, JC is drinking a Yadingus by Crooked Run Fermentation at the VFW Post 9010. 3.25 caps for this one. It looks like it's definitely a little fruity. But wonder why such a low rating. Let's see. Ooh, I like this one just because it was, you know, it's got dogs on the label. And he's continuing his check-in streak.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Chad LaMassa is drinking an Out of Order, Trying to Make It by RAR Brewing. And I love these, or the this brewery, because all their dogs look like the... What label is this? It's not, it was a slushy kind of company, but I can't remember what Slurpee. Kind it was. It's the dogs, not Slurpee, but I can't remember what it was. Somebody's going to have to.
Icy?
I don't know if it was Icy. It's the one with the dog on it. Well, I don't know. Oh no. Anyway, either. All of their labels are focused around that dog. So anyway, I had a crappy day today.
Oh.
And then I spilled half of this.
Oh no.
Dad, sorry, buddy. What's left is pretty good though. Lots of pineapple and peach. It's not overly sweet though. Very nice. 4 cap rating. Chad, I hope you, after you drank that beer, your day got a little better.
I hope so too. Have another
checking
one.
In for his 2000th unique check-in on Untappd. Mr. Jeff Seiler is drinking a Blind Pig IPA by Russian River. He said, I wanted something big for my 2000th check-in, and Blind Pig has been on my bucket list bucket list beer forever. Big pine and citrus notes. Takes me back to the IBU hop war days. So damn good. On to 2500. Give it a 4.5 cap rating for that one. And congratulations from Mr. Bill Schlemmer on his to Jeff on his 2000.
Nice job,
beer.
Jeff.
He's also checking in too. This is nice too. If you got this at Craft Shack, Jeff, I'm coming to North Carolina. My first Freem Family beer.
Oh, which one is it?
Hazy IPA by Freem Family Brewers. He said big citrusy and tropical notes in such a tasty and easy drinking IPA. Big thanks to Denny and Chris from Tap the Craft podcast for making me aware of Freem's awesomeness. Cheers, guys. I'm going to have to toast that one.
Yeah, for sure. Freem. They just make some super clean, good beers. I mean, I love Freem. So I'm glad you enjoyed
it. Yeah. If you can get a hold of it, get it. Mr. Matt Knight is drinking a No Frills Pils by Wallen Powpack Brewing. And nice bit of maltiness with a tasty breadiness. Good health potion while doing Magic Quest with the kids. Yeah.
What's Magic Quest? Is it a...
Something that makes him want to drink, apparently.
Is it Harry Potter or something?
Something that makes him want to drink, apparently. Well, I hope you've completed your quest, good sir, and cheers to the next magic quest. Let's see. Strolling on up, Chad LaMassa drinking a Double Pony Boy by Frost Beer Works. My first beer from Frost. Pretty good, hazy and hoppy. 4.25 cap rating for that one. And we're going to, refresh. There we go.
And we're good.
And Alex Fuchs drinking a Kyoto Bakushu Makita IPA. It's green because it's got Makita green tea in it.
Yeah.
All he said, interesting. But a 4 cap rating to go along with it. And the sign that is next to the beer in his photo, it says, just drink it and enjoy taste of Kyoto. Brewed with matcha green tea. It's green. You know, you should probably just drink this instead of all the other green beer we have on like St. Patrick's Day.
So I drink matcha green tea every day. But I don't know if it's green because it's in a coffee cup. So I can't see if it's green. I steep it.
You can look inside.
I look in and I have a black cup, it looks dark. I have a red cup, it looks dark. I don't have anything, I don't have a clear cup. I need to get a clear cup so I can see what it looks like. But I drink it, I've cut back. I used to drink only 2 cups of coffee first thing in the morning before 7 a.m. I'd have 2 cups. Now I drink 1 cup of matcha green tea and then 1 cup of coffee. And it keeps me going all day long. Look at this.
I can get on board with that.
Look at this.
Well, that is what everybody is drinking.
Okay. Excellent. A lot of different stuff in there. Good stuff. And cheers to Jim and Tara in Gibraltar, because it's a place I would love to visit. I read a lot, and I read a lot of history and fictional history and non-fictional history of World War II in that region. And there's been several storylines and remembrance things in Gibraltar. And I'm always fascinated by the World War II, that base and area. So I would love to go visit and see what's, you know, what's there. I think the airport is on the old airport that was used to, you know, fly out of there, all military airport. But I don't know. But hey, cheers to you guys. Have fun. Drink some good beer. And wear funny hats. I like funny hats.
Yeah, wear funny hats or umbrellas, whatever or umbrellas. You need to do.
Okay, well, now it's time for our Beer Speak 101, where we briefly define common and not so common beer terminology. In this episode, we will discuss the term esters. I know we've mentioned this in the past when we did our yeast show, and I might have even mentioned it in a Beer Speak 101, but like I said before, I'm not keeping track of which ones I've done, so I might repeat them. And if I did, my apologies. But if I didn't, esters are volatile flavor compounds that form through the interaction of organic acids with alcohols during fermentation and contribute to the fruity aroma and flavor of beer. Esters are very common in ales. There you go. And especially in Belgian ales, which leads us right up. Oh, I totally forgot to do our beer tasting. Don't worry.
You know, you didn't skip it.
I didn't skip it. We're going to go back to it, but
they don't know that, Denny. Oh, it's on our notes, not theirs.
My apologies. Disregard what I just said. But esters are going to play a very important part in our beer tasting that we're going to do right now. Yes, we are going to be tasting the Giant Jones Golden Strong Ale. It's a Belgian style ale.
There's a lot of sediment in the bottom of that
thing. Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yeah. Oh. I've already shaken mine up a bit.
So when I took it out of the cooler, I put it into the cooler, and as I was setting it down, I went, holy cow, there's a lot of sediment in the bottom there. Also, episode 209, which I just put up on YouTube today.
Oh, look at you.
Strong ale. Golden Strong
Ale. Golden Strong Ale. We talk about Belgian Golden Strong Ales in 209. Thank you, Chris, for doing that for the show. I love to try to call back to stuff we did, and I should be better at that. I should have gone and researched myself, but hey, I had you covering my back.
Well, it was nice too, because the 209, 08, 07, and I believe 06 were all Belgian. All Belgian history of history of strong ales and that kind of thing. We were talking about the I believe we were talking about the Duvel.
Oh, yeah. The Duvel. Okay. All right. And again, this is from Giant Jones Brewing out of Madison, Wisconsin. This was gifted to Chris and I. We each a bottle from our listener, Bill Schlemmer. Thank you, Bill, for your generosity. All these beers have been fantastic, and we really appreciate it. And I'm saddened that this is the last one that we get to try. And I think I really want to reach out to the team at Giant Jones and see if they can come on and talk to us about their brewery and their inspiration and learn about them. I think it'd be great to talk, because so far I've been very, very impressed with the beers that they're putting out. So this is a Belgian-style golden strong ale. It comes in at 8.8% ABV. On Untappd, it's got an average rating of 4.06 with 185 ratings as of yesterday. This says on the side here, Medusa persists. This bright, dry, effervescent Belgian-style ale reflects tenacity and strength. So, Chris?
This was bottled almost a year ago. July
you're right. 22. I was thinking
That's Medusa on the front.
Yeah, I was thinking that was 11. When I first thought, I thought it was November, but you're right. It is 7/11/22. Okay.
So we got an aged golden strong ale.
That means it's going to be even better than it was before. So let's go ahead and pop this open.
It smells really good.
Oh, yeah, that one had a noise. I got some noise on that. Ooh, it does smell good. I can smell those esters that we just talked about. I'm going to pour it into my Funk B cup.
Oh, don't spill it on camera, Christopher.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Wow, that's clear.
Yeah, it is very clear and effervescent. The bubbles are coming up like crazy. There is no lack of bubbles in this beer. I bet this is bottle conditioned. Well, if it was, they would have put a cork on it, I guess. Wow, that is nice and
golden.
That's
just beautiful to look at.
Look at all those bubbles coming up my glass. You see all those bubbles?
Yeah, yours is pretty significant. Mine
is crazy.
Mine's not as much, but it's still
oh my gosh. If you're watching the video, the bubbles are insane. Okay, that's all I can pour into the glass. I got that sucker filled to the brim. Chris, I can see you through this beer.
Yeah.
I can clearly see you through the beer. It's not like crystal clear, but it is a very clear beer. Nice golden yellow coloring. Lots of bubbles. My gosh, it's bubbling like a mother. Look at that.
Yours is nuts. Mine's not so much, but I do like the fact that I can see myself on the screen.
I can see you. I can see your face through your beer.
Yeah. I don't know what you consider crystal clear, but to me, this is a crystal clear
beer. It is
beer.
Super clear, super effervescent. Looks beautiful. The white, pure white head. That head is white. It's fluffy. It's holding strong at two fingers. There's a two finger head holding strong after the last 3 minutes I've been talking. Dense bubbles, a little bit of coarse bubbles in there too. Wow, this thing is bubbling like crazy. I can't believe it. Must be the shape. I've got this ribbed glass and it's just running right up the side of that rib and just bubbling like crazy. That is insane.
Oh, it's ribbed for your pleasure too.
Yes,
huh?
For mine. Good. And yours.
Chuck, you're willing to share. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just coming right up the side of that rib. That really works. You know what? Joel did a great job of designing these glasses. That is really nice. Wow, look how the head is still going strong.
Yeah, mine's not as big, but it's here, we can build it back up.
Okay.
There.
We described the appearance, and let's go ahead and take some sniffs and just describe what we smell. Okay, I get bubble gummy. And
I don't.
And I get bubble gummy mixed in with some, I want to say clove.
Definitely get some spiciness.
Yeah, some spiciness in there for sure. Yeah, clove, bubble gummy, maybe some bubble gum, like banana bubble gummy type character. Smells really good. It smells exactly how I would expect a Belgian style golden strong ale to smell. So nothing is disappointing me as far as what I would expect. I will say that I'm not used to seeing this much bubbles out of a golden strong ale. This is a triple. Like a triple, I can see this many bubbles. But my gosh, this beer is. And look, the head's getting bigger. It's now. Yeah. It's now.
It's growing.
It's growing. It's now a 2.5 finger head. This is crazy. Yeah, this is. We're going out with our last beer from Giant Jones, and so far, I'm happy with the appearance. The aroma smells perfect.
I don't know how you're smelling anything with that giant head on there. It looks like an ice cream cone.
There's something else I'm trying to.
I don't know what I'm smelling in there. It's almost like straw.
It is something grainy or something. I'm having trouble pinpointing that. That last smell as well, and
it's not anything spicy. It's almost, I don't want to call it vegetal because that's not appropriate, but it's almost something, an organic material. Like I don't know why I'm getting that straw. I don't want to call it barnyard either.
No, it's not barnyard.
Right kind of beer
it's,
for that.
It's definitely
earthy. It's something.
It's earthy. Yeah, best. It's almost. It reminds me of like smelling. I know this doesn't sound good either, but like coal or something like minerally. It's got some kind of, but I can't pinpoint. Maybe the flavor will pinpoint it if I can get this thing. The head is
only one way to find out.
Let's take a sip.
This is a great opportunity from that scene in Austin Powers where Dr. Evil drinks the coffee and gets the foam on his nose.
Okay.
Lemongrass.
Okay. Wow. This is different than what I was expecting.
I was not expecting this. It was like citrusy in the front.
Yeah. There is some kind of maybe a lemongrass type. It's right in the right here in the tip of my lips and my teeth. And you're right. Right up the right up front, you get this citrus, grassy character like lemongrass, which I would not expect to get that kind of character from a Belgian Golden Strong Ale. So it took me by surprise. Definitely, maybe that's some of that smell we're trying to describe, right? Is a weird vegetable, like a lemongrass stalk type. I still don't smell any lemongrass in the nose. But you're right. There is almost a stocky kind of character to it in the aroma. The second sip is not as strong of the lemony stock grass. But I will say it is good. It's drying. I definitely have a drying feeling in my mouth at the end of this thing. I'm trying to think if there's any, I don't really sense any, there seems to be kind of like a sweetness, but it's not like sweet. It's like, wow, this is a hard one to describe. It caught me off guard with that lemony grass character in there. I got to get rid of some of his head. The head is throwing me off. Look at that. It's almost three fingers now. Okay, so for Belgian Golden Strong Ales, I usually have more of a sense of sweetness up front. This is not as sweet up front. The bitterness from the citrus character comes off right away, and it kind of carries through a bitterness all the way from the beginning, the mid, and even in the finish, you still get a sense of bitterness. And your mouth is super dry at the end of the drink.
Yeah.
I just took my third sip and I'm still trying to see if I could pull out any kind of malt character. There might be a little bit of cereal or cracker in there, but it's really masked by the yeasty esters with some of that cloviness and the citrus, like the lemon.
It's almost got peel. Some wine characteristics to it.
Some wine characteristics, like some grape peel or grape husk wine, like when they put the husk in the wine. I don't know.
This one makes you think.
It makes me think because I expect it to have a lot more in the aroma. I was getting bubblegummy clove, and it's kind of hidden. It's there, but it's not front and center stage. And I'm not getting with that bubblegum. I'm typically with Golden Strong Ales. I feel like I'm getting sweetness from those yeasty esters that I'm missing in this version of the Golden Strong Ale. This one definitely is heavier on the bitterness, but not bad bitter. It's not the typical Golden Strong Ale that I'm used to drinking when I drink a Golden Strong Ale. It definitely is more on the herbal. You know what? There's some herbal notes in there for sure. Herbal.
So I'm glad you said that. So I hopped on their website, and this was kind of the bit of description that they had.
Okay, let's hear it.
Golden, clear, crisp, and bubbly.
It is,
with notes of herbal hops.
Yep, I get some herbalness in there.
And hints of lightly fruity, oaky Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, okay.
Very dry finish.
Maybe there is some oaky character in there. Dry finish is 100%. Sure. This is a dry ass beer, but not over dry, right? Sometimes it can be too dry. It's a way drier than I was expecting for the style. And yeah, at this last couple sips, I was starting to pick out those herbal notes, not like oregano, not like a strong oregano, but it was like herbal notes that were in that savory side. And I think it does a good job of, balancing out that. Maybe it's not so sweet because these other notes are taking away from what we would get from the yeast. But
Denny, this brewery is right up your alley, man. I'm looking at the other than the beers that we've tried here. So this was some of the beers that they had posted on their website. A Canadian style spruce beer, a rye wine, Baltic porter.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah, they're talking
the Beer Day Miel that we had the other day, a wheat wine.
I like wheat wines.
Scotch ale.
Love Scotch ale.
This one's called a Cornall. It says tropical raised from the Norwegian Kvike yeast and a gentle prickle from local spruce and hops. A doppel sticky out beer.
Wow, don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
But it makes me want to try it.
Or, British style barley wine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know me. I'm my English barley wines. I'm a sucker for those.
Belgian style blonde. I mean, this place is right up your alley.
I like the beer but I'm a little bit stumped because it is not what I expected from a Belgian strong, but it's still a good beer.
No. It's still very good.
I almost would put this more into like a strong Saison style for me. It has a lot of characters of a Saison. Yeah. And so I'd almost put this into the Saison style range. So as of a Saison, I'd say, yeah, this is great. A Belgian golden strong. It's missing some of the character I want to be emphasized in a golden strong, for a Belgian golden strong. Still a good tasting beer. Nothing wrong with the beer. Very clean. Again, clean beer. It has been aging for almost a year. It's been bottled. Maybe I don't know if that had any effect on it, but no negative effects. There's no off flavors in here. Good beer. I applaud brewers that can go and make a style their own, and I applaud them for this. I'm still going to rate this high. Not a five. This would be my beer. I don't rate a five, but probably a four, and only a four because it's deviates from my expectations of a golden strong ale. And so I'm going to rate it a little bit lower, but still a great beer. And it follows suit with what the average rating is of 4.06. So I'm going to keep it right at four, with my rating probably, but a really good beer. And I'm glad that Bill sent this to us because I am enjoying it. I appreciate what they did. They made us think. I mean, this was a tough one. I mean, it took me a while to pull out the herbal notes, but they came out eventually. And I think that herbal note was what we were smelling, any aroma that we were having trouble pinpointing. But yeah, great beer. So thank you, Bill, for another fantastic beer experience that we got to try. This is something that we would not have experienced without visiting Madison, Wisconsin. I will be coming to Wisconsin eventually. And Bill, I want to come visit you so we can go and drink beer and I can, chat and have a good time. So thank you. Okay, Chris, let's move into the Brew Buzz. I'm going to try to get this show done in an hour and a half so we can get to bed. But I'm going to talk a lot about these breweries, but I'll try to keep it short. But
well, you will. I know you will, and that's I've even got some good notes on mine too.
So. All right. Well, the Brew Buzz is devoted to discussing various beer-related topics. And this week we learn about our favorite breweries beginning with the letter L. So, Chris, you want to go first? Or want me to go first?
So I'll go first. Okay. I'll start. I think I'll go with one and then you go with one and then we'll just kind of go back and
forth.
Let's
do it.
Now my first one, I don't have a ton of, and I'm not going by the order of my notes either, Denny. Mm-hmm. I only have two check-ins to this brewery, which weren't on my Untappd.
Well, how do you know you had them then?
Because I know I've had them. And by the way, there may have been beers that I was almost 100% certain that I checked into that are no longer on my
I just saw one today when I was perusing my Untappd, looking at our listeners' check-ins, and there was one that Tara or Bill or no, Jim checked into that that I have had, and I checked in. I know I checked in Untappd, and it didn't show that I had it. It's okay because it wasn't a good beer, but still, yeah, I find them all the time, that things I know I checked into. But go ahead. Which?
Well, I want to talk to the folks at Untappd too.
Okay.
Anyway, so the first one on my list is Lawson's Finest Liquids in Waitsville, Vermont, and I've had two beers from them. Sip of Sunshine was one of them. And the second one, I don't recall the name, but I know there was two. But just where did it go on my check-in list? Not really sure. But a little bit of info about the folks over at Lawson's Finest Liquids. They were founded in 2008 in Warren, Vermont, as a one-barrel home-based brewery. Fans quickly sought out our beer, prompting an expansion in 2011 to a 7-barrel system and the launch of our flagship IPA. This is what I had, Sip of Sunshine, in 2014. Lawson's Finest opened our destination brewery, taproom, and retail store in Waitsfield in 2018, finally giving a space to welcome visitors. And their beer can be found in 9 states across the Northeast.
Yeah, I learned about Lawson's around 2014, 2015, and then I was like, okay, I want to visit these guys. I didn't realize they just got a tap room in 2018. That's insane, because these guys have been like popular for a long time, and this is one of the breweries that's on my bucket list. I will, when I'm traveling around the States, visiting historic sites and breweries, I will be going to Lawson's Finest Liquids, and I have not had one of their beers yet. Still on my bucket list.
Yeah, Connor, I know it's not Florida. Suck it. Double Sunshine was the other one.
Double Sunshine? Yeah.
Double Sunshine was the second one.
Well, I'm glad Connor is on with us, listening to us.
Yeah, he was episode 205 or 206 or something like that.
Really? Was he that far back? It's been that long since we had Connor on? Wow, we're on 25. That's a year ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
Okay.
Him sitting in his basement chatting with us about beers. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Nice.
All right. Well, what about you, Denny? Let's hear about one of your favorite L breweries.
Okay, so anyone who has been a longtime listener of the show knows that I fell in love with this L brewery. In fact, I think I have a couple videos and stuff that talks about my label love and how I found this brewery by passing through trying to find a beer and saw the label and it intrigued me. So I grabbed a 6-pack and then just fell in love with the beer. And this is from Lagunitas Brewing out of Petaluma, California. The brewery overall, from all their beers, I don't know how many beers they have because I didn't go and count, but they have, counting all their beers and Untappd, an average rating of 3.81. So even though they've kind of sold out, went to the big beer of Heineken, they're still very highly rated and still a very good brewery. In my opinion, maybe not as good as they were before the full style out, but that's my opinion. And but I fell in love with them and drank everything. Went to the brewery in Petaluma, took the tour. I mean, did the whole works and loved everything back in the day. I've had 66 unique check-ins to their beers, and 17 of those 66 are 5-cap ratings. That tells you, back in the day, back in the early days of Untappd and 2011 timeframe, I started drinking Lagunitas beers in about 2002, 2003. And I just fell in love with the beers and drank everything that came into town. And that's why in 2011, when I joined Untappd, I started checking into the beers and rating them very high. I've probably had more than the 66, but those are the only ones I've checked into, because the other ones might be before Untappd.
I purposely skipped this one because I knew you were going to beat me out on it. I was extremely impressed by the number of beers that I've had from them.
Oh, how many?
Because you, 42.
Wow, good job, Chris. Yeah. That's an impressive number.
Yeah, like the brewery I'm going to read, I'm like 12. But I just looked this up and I was like, man, I should look. 42.
Nice.
And you know what? My last one that I've had that was like a unique check-in from them was the Waldo's Special Ale in 2021. Okay. At the Fermented Reality Beer Garden.
Oh, nice. A go call back to Joel in the Fermented Reality Beer Garden. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So on this check-in, I'm not going to talk about the brewery. I have whole shows talking about Lagunitas. Go find them. I don't know what they are, but I talk about Lagunitas a lot. But I will talk about four of my 5-cap rating beers that I thoroughly enjoy, loved. Some may or may not still be in production, but great beers and what they what they have to say about them. So the first one I'm going to talk about, a beer that, as far as I understand, is not being brewed anymore. Maybe it is in small batches somewhere, but I haven't seen it in years. It's the Brown Sugar American Strong Ale. 5-cap rating on every version they release as Brown Sugar. Originally a failed, this is what they have to say about this beer. Originally a failed attempt at our 1997 batch of Old Gnarly Wine Ale, resulting in an all-new beer style we like to call Irresponsible. We believe this special ale is something unique, feeding brown cane sugar to otherwise cultured brewery yeast is akin to feeding raw shark to your gerbil. It is unlikely to ever occur in nature without human intervention, and it looks weird besides. But it has happened, and now it's too late. Brown Sugar, if they ever release it again, or if they still are releasing it, you can get it. You must drink this beer. It is so good, and I love this beer. I drank this beer every other year when it came out until they stopped releasing it. And I would just buy 6-pack after 6-pack and just suck this down. It's super, super good. So that
I think it's out. It's just called something else. Cause
no, they have,
we had it on the episode where it was unrefined.
So it's not the same beer. It tastes different. It's the latest one they made was unrefined sugar using the Pinella, sugar,
yeah.
But it's,
you know, that stuff,
but it's lighter. It's not the same, punch with that brown sugar. The brown sugar adds a little bit extra punch to it. The unrefined was good, but it came across a little bit too sweet, sweeter than the brown sugar version. The brown sugar is like the best.
And if they were using actual brown sugar to make it, that makes a lot more sense. If they're using that Pinella sugar, like we had that bag that was sent to us, that's just going to be sugar. But brown sugar is sugar and molasses, so you get some more depth of flavors that go along with it.
Yeah, you had a deeper, richer flavor to the brown sugar.
Which now I want some.
Yeah. So I'm hoping they eventually do a comeback and bring it back, because that's a great beer.
They call it a comeback. Yeah.
The next beer that I absolutely loved and I haven't had in years is Wilco Tango Foxtrot. It's WTF, the Imperial Brown Ale, 5-cap rating. What they say about this, it's a malty, robust, jobless recovery ale We are not quite in the red or in the black. Does that mean we're in the brown? A big old Imperial brown ale to help you with your slippery slide on into springtime. Rich, smooth, dangerous, and chocolatey. Great beer. I have a bottle right somewhere, right there. it's right there. Wilco Tango Foxtrot. Great beer. I hope they bring this one back. It's a great beer. So 5-cap rating. Another beer that is still available, and they put it in 16-ounce cans now, I believe, Hop Stupid Double IPA. Mm. The beer with a guarantee built right into the name. This one is designed to blast through the flavors from the night before, massively dry hop for your aromatic pleasure. Hop Stupid was originally created using hop oil that was extracted from excess amount of hops that Lagunitas bought from a local farmer that didn't want the hops to go to waste and wanted to help out that local farmer. They bought all these excess hops from them. They couldn't use them all, so they reduced it down to hop oils, and then they made this beer out of hop oils. This is back in the, in the mid-2000s. And the beer is super flavorful and really, like, really good hop flavor of a West Coast IPA. Great beer, still available. Go grab a can. I haven't had one in a while. I did have one a few years ago, but I need to grab another one more recent to see if it's still as good as it was back then. But I love that beer. I drank a lot of Hop Stupid back in the day. And
yeah, Jeff Seiler said brown sugar sucks.
Yeah.
Or as we would know it, as Lagunitas sucks. And Hop Stupid, which I loved, but haven't seen in years.
Okay. So keep looking for the Hop Stupid, because I did see a can of it last year, and I meant to pick it up and I didn't. And as Jeff just mentioned, my last one I'm going to talk about, another one that is absolute favorite, is Lagunitas Sucks Double IPA.
Oh yeah.
And I've talked about this beer on the show, and the story behind this is I mentioned that every 2 years they would brew the brown sugar. They would only do it every 2 years because it costs a lot of money to buy all that sugar and produce it. And it takes longer to ferment all that sugar out. And so it was a very costly beer, and they didn't want to do it every year. So they did it every 2 years. Well, the second year it was coming out, something happened and they couldn't produce the beer, and they knew that they're going to have a lot of unhappy customers waiting for that beer out. So in what they did is they brewed this Lagunitas Sucks to say that, hey, we know that we suck, but here's another beer to enjoy. And you know what? This freaking beer is awesome too. It's so good. Yep. Love this beer. So this one is the beer. This is what they have to say about it. The beer is a cereal medley of barley, wine, wheat, and oats, full of complexiousness, not a word, when they made up, from the four grains, then joyously dry hop for that big aroma and resinous flavor. The Lagunitas Sucks was absolutely delicious. And if it comes back out, I don't know, maybe they do release this one. I need to check. But if it does come back, I will definitely pick up more of it. So those are my Lagunitas favorite of my 5-cap rating. There's more that I enjoyed. I just didn't want to go crazy because this show could go on for 3 hours, and I don't want that to happen. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and go into your second brewery, Ale Brewery?
Well, all I'm going to say is Undercover Investigation Shutdown.
I have that one too. It's I have that bottle. These are classic bottles that, you can't get anymore, right?
So good. Yeah. All right. So my second one, which I would call my first one, is right here in the Tampa area. It's actually in a town called Riverview, which is about 10, 15 minutes from me. It's Levin Brewing. Mm. And they have an overall rating of 3.85 with 177 beers.
Wow, that's a lot of beers.
Yeah, and they've only been around for a few years. They haven't been around for too long, but man, everything that they put out is good. It's just good stuff. And KJ, the brewer, his wife Jillian, they just run a really cool place that is just a, it's a really kind of like, hey, everybody knows your name kind of thing when you go over there. But a little bit of info off of their website is the makeup of who is behind Levin Brewing is what makes this place our place, soon to be your place. Mm. A really neat individual, independent of other projects kind of place. KJ has been brewing, has brewing experience that is unlike most others. Not to say it's better in any way, but it is different. KJ started at Fort Myers Brewing Company and learned the process from Rob, the owner there. KJ quickly became the head brewer of Fort Myers, which went on to receive respectable awards at Best Florida Beer and collect accolades on Rate Beer. After Fort Myers Brewing, KJ became the senior brewer at Brew Hub, which is about 45 minutes that way, ultimately helping other local brands to grow their beers. Brew Hub, unlike Fort Myers Brewing, was a 100 barrel system. Hashtag no big deal. Produced roughly around 98,000 barrels of beer a year. KJ is a brewer who learned under some super unique circumstances, but he's also now the owner of a brewery that was built with his own hands, beer recipes written by him and brewed by him. At Levin Brewing, you are experiencing the absolute heart and soul of everything KJ has ever worked for. We are a husband and wife team who has taken everything we've had and all of our sleep to build a place where people can connect while drinking some dang delicious stuff. We grew this. No frills, no venture capitalists, no investment group, just us and our long list of friends that we are absolutely the most grateful for.
Yeah, nice.
They are... No, Connor, I did not make it over for the tap takeover. They just had a tap takeover at Gasparilla.
Oh, really?
From them on Friday. They had a couple of kegs that kicked the very same night. And they, like I said, they've just put out some terrific beer. They have their blonde ale. It's called Cheeky Blonde. That's, from what I understand, produced because of KJ's wife, Jillian, blonde girl from Jersey. So she kind of fits the bill. But just the beer itself and then the community that goes along with it just makes it so much better.
Yeah.
I remember just stopping by there. Last time I was there was St. Patrick's Day. So I was like, well, I had an appointment that I needed to go to at about 1 o'clock. And I was really early for that appointment. So why not stop by and have a beer? So
of course.
Sully's Irish Stout was on tap there for St. Patrick's Day. So why not have one of those before you go to an appointment?
Yeah.
But their Cheeky Blonde, the red, the red ale that they have, I gave that one a four cap rating too. They have a Kolsch that's called Is Blueberry. That I gave a four cap rating to as well, but just a little bit of everything. They've got Berliners, they've got a couple of stouts, they've got a couple of IPAs, a couple of just Kolsch's. I mean, it's just great stuff.
Nice.
So those are the folks on my favorite L brewery, and I have to see if we can get them on the show.
Let's do it. I'd love to talk to them. It sounds like a great, great husband and wife, success story and beer story.
Yeah. All right. Well, Denny, let's hear about your last one.
Okay. This is a brewery that I only became aware of in 2021, January. Ooh, I'm burping up this effervescent beer. And this is Lumberbeard Brewing out of Spokane, Washington. And I discovered this brewery when I went in January, into January of 2021, we bought up our pickup truck in Spokane, Washington. We flew there to sign the deal, pay the money, and drive it back. And on the way back, or, you know, before I left, I stopped at that bottle shop, and she hooked me up with some great beers. And one of the beers that, and, you know, breweries that she hooked me up with at that time was Lumber Beer Brewing. She says, oh yeah, these guys are putting out some great stuff. So I picked up several of them. Guess what? I fell in love with this brewery. They were just making some really good beer. And then luckily, a half a year later, maybe a year later, I can't remember, all of a sudden, Lumberbeard is showing up in Boise. They started distributing down here to Boise from Spokane, Washington. And I buy everything I can get from them. And just to let you know what, how well I like this brewery, again, just 2 years, basically, of me drinking them. They overall, they have a rating of 3.95 with 122 beers.
Wow.
Pretty solid lineup of, 122 beers at a almost 4 cap rating is really good. I've had 22 unique check-ins. My average rating of the 22 that I've had, 4.25. That's a solid lineup of 22 beers, and that my average
that's
is 4.25, is that these guys really make some great beer. So let me read you their story here. The Lumberbeard Brewing story isn't a complicated one. It is much like the way we like our beers. Simple, straightforward, yet full of creative adventure. Brett, our president and head brewer, fell in love with beer and the craft of brewing at the appropriate age of 21. Of course, got to be legal, right? After graduating from the University of Colorado with a degree in economics, oh my gosh, that was a mistake right there, he pursued a sensible job in the finance world. It didn't take long for him to realize that being at a desk was not for him, not for anyone, and he wanted to become a professional brewer. That passion led him and his family to California, where he went back to school to earn a professional brewing certificate at the University of San Diego. He swore he would never go back to school, but beer will make you do some crazy things. I just love that.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah.
From there, Brett worked as a professional brewer for several years in California before taking the leap to open his own brewery in Spokane. Lumber Beer Brewing is a true family business. Brett's wife, Hannah, transitioned from her career as an elementary school teacher, my daughter and my wife, to join the team as their head of social media and graphic design. One of our key managers and resident handyman is Brett's dad, Norman. You will often see the whole family at the brewery enjoying a pint or two. I love that. Lumberbeard Brewing was founded in 2018, and we are excited to have you along for this crazy journey. We are committed to making excellent beers and desire to create a community where everyone feels welcome, cared for, and can find a beer they love. And that's no joke, because they go the full gamut of beer styles, and all of them just like hit right on into a really, they know how to hit their beers really good. I will say, like a lot of breweries, the IPAs can get redundant, right? And so I really look forward to seeing when they bring in a style that I haven't seen before and they hit it out of the park, because that means, I can still get their beer and enjoy something that is not this typical stuff, and they still do a really good job in brewing it. So they do make good IPAs, don't get me wrong, but I just find it harder and harder to appreciate breweries that just produce good IPAs, because it just gets old. It's hard to find unique, special experiences with IPAs sometimes. Okay, so I have three beers I want to talk about. These are all 4.5 cap rating beers. The first one is a Belgian dark strong ale. My description on Untappd is beautiful mahogany color, sweet dates and dark fruit aroma. Flavor is fantastic, with rich dried fruits and Belgian sugar and a toffee malt character. I really like their Belgian dark strong. Really good beer. Their Lumberpunk Italian Pilsner, going completely opposite direction. Italian Pilsner is an Italian Pilsner dry hop with Saphir and Halotau Blanc. hops. This beer is bright, spicy, floral, and crazy refreshing. That was their description. And my description of their friendly neighborhood Kolsch is fantastic Kolsch-style beer, crisp, refreshing, with a solid bready malt character, and delicious. I'll tell you what, these guys don't make bad beer. And that's a fact. They don't make bad beer. So Lumberbeard out of Spokane, Washington. If you're lucky enough to be able to try some of their beers, you will not be disappointed. Okay, Chris. That is our brew buzz. We just listed each of our two favorite ale breweries. Now it's time to bring the show to a close. But before we do that, we always want to mention our new and worthy beers. Chris, I see your list is full of beers.
I know, it's so full. I didn't have any. So it was kind of a weird week. You know, those days when you come home and I don't know if you ever have this, but your body just goes, no,
yeah,
no beer.
Yeah. No, I just drink water sometimes. I do that.
And you know what? Even the Summerfest. Yeah. So we were super excited.
Good.
I was very excited to get this, which by the way, it's very good beer. I cracked one of these open the other day and I started drinking it and my gut went, no,
oh no,
no more. And I went, all right, what's going on? So I don't know what it was. Took 3 or 4 days to just recoup. And I had maybe a half a can of this the other day, and it's just been just kind of a
okay.
We'll
it happens.
Just let the body reset.
Yeah, yeah. Drink more matcha green tea. That will help you replenish your antioxidants and stuff. But the Summerfest is a good beer, though, right? You did once you start.
Oh, yeah,
drinking,
it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
But being able to get a hold of this too. Yeah. This has been great.
Yeah.
But I'll have to add to my list for next time.
Okay. Okay.
So let's hear about yours. You're going to have to cover for both.
It's okay.
Of us.
I drank a lot of different beers, and I drank a bunch of beers in Salem, you know, when I was traveling as well. But there's only two that's worth mentioning. The first one's from Fremont Brewing out of Seattle, Washington. And this is one I thought I had had before, but I think they had a different goza. This is their cucumber goza. And I'll tell you what, you know what? Shoot, I got talking and I didn't prepare with my Untappd so I can read what I had to say. But I'll tell you what, the cucumber in this goza just jumps out with like really good character and flavor. I really enjoyed it a lot. I gave it a 4.5 cap rating as I buzzed down here to try to find where I had it in my check-ins. But, oh, here it is. Cucumber peel on the nose. Again, it was that peel character, like when you eat a cucumber with a peel. I eat the cucumber with a peel on because it's got the most nutrition.
Who doesn't?
Well, some people don't like peel, but I eat the peel. And it had that aroma like you would get when you're biting into that cucumber. So cucumber peel on the nose with a hint of sea salt popping off the head of the mist. So as an effervescent beer that was coming through and the little mist that was coming off that head was just like spraying like sea mist into my nose. It was pretty cool. The flavor is cucumber up front with an ever so slight tartness, very slight tartness. Finishing off with some salinity, very delicate beer that is also very refreshing. I like it a lot. I tell you what, I really enjoyed this cucumber goza. Very, very, very good. If you can get it from Fremont Brewing, give it a try. Great sour beer. Not really sour. It's more tart, lightly tart, but really good experience and beer from a goza style. And my
Fremont's another one that I wish I could just get a hold of all the time.
Oh yeah, Fremont's good. I buy a lot of the Fremont. Well, we get them here now. I mean, we got them here for a few years and I buy everything that comes in pretty much. Not that all of it makes my new and noteworthy, but this one did. Again, I try to get four and a quarter and above. And I try to stay 4.5 and above as far as my new and noteworthy. I try to only give the cream of the crop of the stuff I I drink. Talking about the cream of the crop, let's talk about L. Smith. L. Smith is now, just I mentioned this last episode, they're distributing to Boise. And so I've been picking up their beer. Yeah, we got them now. And I'm picking up their, they've been in Washington for a long time, but they just finally got down to Boise. And I picked up a few of their beers. Not saying, the only one that really struck out as a fantastic beer that I really enjoyed, I mean, really good beer that I can drink all the time, is L. Smith Brewing's 0.394 Pale Ale. Batting average, 394. This is, who's the San Diego Padre?
Tony Gwynn.
Yes. I drew a blank. Thank you for hitting that. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't think of the guy's name, but I know who he is.
You pitch it, I hit it.
So this was in collaboration with Tony Gwynn, and he wanted L. Smith to brew a beer that represented, you know, beers that he liked and stuff. So he brewed this beer. I'll tell you what, the beer is fantastic. It's a pale ale. I gave it a 4.5 cap rating. Here's what I said. Smells amazing with a light tropical citrus aroma. That same hop character falls into the flavor with a cracker malt backbone. Finishes off with a decent bitterness, but not too bold. Overall, a fantastic pale ale. Glad to see L. Smith is now in Boise. 4.5 cap rating. Thoroughly love this beer. Will be buying 6 packs of this and drinking when I just want a good pale ale. Really, really good. Okay, Chris, now let's raise a glass before we close the show out. And I know you have someone to raise a glass to tonight.
Well, I actually just got one more person I'm going to put on this list because Connor Larson just said, he texted me and he said, one more thing. I miss your face. If you're still on here, I know you said old man have to go to bed. Something tells me you're still screwing around on your phone. Miss your face too.
Okay.
But I have, I want to raise a glass to Mr. Jeff Seiler. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeff. 29. This is, always, forever.
It was some number of, I feel like we did this last year. It was some number of anniversary of his 29th birthday or something like that. But again, it's because I'm going through and going through all of our old notes and outlines from our previous show. But I also want to take a minute and wish a belated happy Mother's Day. That was yesterday. So cheers to all the moms out there. Oh, come on.
Okay.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone out there. It's a go. Hey, we got to have a good, fun ending. okay. So for me, I'll save you the hassle of talking, Chris. I'll just talk.
Thank you.
The Patreon toast tonight, I don't know. I didn't know it was Jeff Seiler's birthday. I had already put Jeff Seiler as the Patreon toast of the night. It just happens to be his birthday. So it's a double toast to Jeff Seiler. Thank you for your patronage. We appreciate all you do for the show. Cheers to you and happy birthday to your 29th plus 5, whatever it is.
Plus a few. A few.
My next toast goes out to a dear friend from high school. In the last show every so often I'll wear a shirt that says Mountaineer basketball. And I mentioned that, my friend Mike came to visit and he brought a couple t-shirts from Falls City High School, which is where I graduated from. And they were a gift from Mike Kidd, who is the principal of Falls City High School. Now, Mike was a year behind me in high school. So when I found out he was a principal of our old high school, it just warmed my heart back then. Now, what I have to say now just warms my heart even more because not only is he the principal of our high school, he stuck around, is trying to be a good mentor and leader of the school and bringing up these kids to be, good stewards of the community. He was also awarded the Oregon High School Principal of the Year. My little small town of Fall City, Oregon. He's the Principal of the Year for High School Principal of the Year. So cheers to you, Mike. I toasted you on Untappd when I found out last week. And I'm toasting you on my show because I want to make sure this goes down and sticks around for many, many years and many people listen to recognize that. I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm just so happy and proud to know that, you know, that you're doing a great job out there. And I know that Fall City High School meant a lot to me and our, in all of our friendships and everything. And I'm just glad that you're able to carry on the tradition and let it be known that Fall City is out there and is providing great education to our youth. Okay. I raised my glass. Another listener who I've met that lives in Boise that was in Portland when we first met, you know, interacted, and we've got together a few times to share beers. He's given me a lot of great beer. And we met, I roll into town Saturday evening after I just got done driving 8 hours straight to get home. I get home, there's no beer. So I drive to the store to get beer. I had thrown on a sleeveless tank top and some shorts and some
sexy. Yeah.
I didn't care because I was just going to get beer. And who comes up to me and says hi is my buddy Kirk Tabor. And we started chatting, and I said, yeah, I know I look pretty bad, but I didn't really care. I just want to go get some beer because I'm out of beer. And we chatted a little bit, and he invited me over to his place to do some whiskey tastings. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And we set a date, and it turns out that I forgot that I had already made plans to go to Pocatello to help my daughter with some home improvements. So I had to back out of it. I felt bad, but cheers to you, Kirk, for seeing me in the store, coming and chatting and just being a great guy. I love interacting with you. I can't wait till we can chat again. And not to mention, he looks fantastic. He's lost a little bit of weight, and he just looks really, really good and healthy. And I want to raise my glass to Kirk. And last toast, I know I'm toasting up a storm, but
you got toast for days.
I got
days.
Toast
You're
for
a bread
days.
Not all,
often I have this many toasts, but these are all important toasts. When I was visiting, doing my move for my mom, we did go back to Sarah's hometown, which is where my friend, my Navy buddy, Mike Blanchard lives. And we were able to reconnect again for like the fifth time, have some beers in Dallas, Oregon with his family, and enjoy some good chatting. So cheers to you, Mike. Thank you for making time out of your busy schedule to come and drink and visit with me while I was visiting Oregon. And of course, I just mentioned being a former serviceman. I always want to raise my glass and thank all those who have served and are currently serving in the U.S. military services, protecting our freedoms, allowing Chris and I to get on here, drink and get drunk and slur our words and talk about beer. I love having that freedom. Thank you for your service. And we hope you are able to return home safely to your families very soon. And Chris, please end the show by giving a toast to our sponsor.
Yeah, we want to raise a glass to the folks over at Tin Tackers. They are the provider of sweet metal beer signs that will make your walls happy. Tin Tackers has a vast selection of embossed aluminum beer signs, perfect for your garage, home bar, or man cave. They have the biggest selection with the best prices. And they also have a mini Tacker of the Month club, a club just for craft beer lovers who collect Tin Tackers, a surprise in your mailbox every month. Go check out their website at tintackers.com and use the promo code TAPTHECRAFT at checkout to save 10% on your entire order, and let them know we sent you.
All right. And you can find the beers mentioned in the show in the show notes located on the show post at tapthecraft.com. Well, it's last call. It's time to bring the show to a close. We want to thank you for downloading and listening. We ask you to please tell a friend and, of course, subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And as a reminder, we release a new show every 2 weeks. Now go out there and spread the good word of craft beer.
Cheers.
Cheers. I got one sip left. Oh, Chris, you locked up.
Hey,
Chris, you there?
For the kids as well. I'm locking up.
Your video is frozen.
Can you see me now?
No.
Can you hear me now?
Well, you look great, but I can Oh, no, wait.
It's
you got your tongue out now. Now I got a picture of your tongue out.
Am I back?
Well, you're frozen.
But now, are we back to normal?
No, tell me we're not back yet. To normal. Tell Tina to get off the YouTube. Stop watching. I don't even know what she'd be watching. Oh, now you're back. Wait, no.
Are we back
yet? Nope, you're still out.
Are we back? Son of a bitch.
Okay, wait, you're coming back slowly in slow motion. Can you see me? We're trying to finish this show off, folks. Oh, wait, is Chris back now? Wait, I think you're back.
Am I back now?
You're back.
How about
you're
now?
Back, but you're in slow motion.
Oh, thank God.
But you're in slow motion. It's okay. So you were raising a glass to all the mothers out there. Okay, Chris.
Am I back?
You're back, but in slow motion. It's okay.